We've been hearing a lot about this word essential since this coronavirus thing has begun, about essential businesses and essential workers. And I got to say that I appreciate greatly those who are on the front lines, those who are risking and giving of themselves to provide services and goods that are needed at this time. And there are some wonderful, powerful, heroic stories out there of people that are giving so graciously, unselfishly, just risking themselves. It reminds me of the heroic war stories that we read in our past. But I got to tell you this morning that there is something about the way this word essential is being used that has bothered me from the beginning. While there are a lot of things that have come about as a result of this pandemic that really bothered me, the use of the word essential has really struck me, and I bet you, wrong in your spirit. Now, I believe it's because it's being used in a way that does not line up with God's word. It does not resonate with His spirit that is within us. We know that the word essential essentially means absolutely necessary, extremely important. Now, let me ask you a question. In God's sight, who do you think He feels is essential, absolutely necessary, extremely important? This is a key question to our Christian belief system because even Christians are vulnerable to the lies of the enemy regarding the correct answer about who God thinks is important, significant. Sometimes Christians who read the scriptures about the Bible heroes, Abraham, Moses, David, in the New Testament, Peter, Paul, and Mary, no, not the Beatles, but the apostles and the mother of our Lord, and martyrs like Stephen and other Bible greats. We read about them and we see how God used them to do great things and bring about great change and save so many lives. And so we're tempted to think, yes, God views them as special, essential to His plan. And then we compare our lives to theirs and say, but not me. Who am I? I'm not really special. I'm not special to God. I'm not essential to His plan. And that's where the essential mistake comes in, the lie that erodes one of the most important truths of God and about God. What is that truth? That you are essential to God. You are individually loved by Him. You're not some insignificant person whose life makes no difference. I appreciate the words of Psalm 139 that speaks to this truth. Let me just share it with you briefly. It's verse 13 through 16. It says, "For you," talking of God, "for God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So many people that we actually read about in the scriptures that accomplished great things initially believed that they too were insignificant until God spoke into their lives. Moses, the prophet Jeremiah. How about the young Jewish girl whose parents either had died or were not deported away as she was, who was raised by her uncle Mordecai and ended up saving the Jewish people? her uncle spoke into her life as she heard God echoing in her spirit, saying that she was born, that she came into the place that she was in for such a time as this. You know, the book of Acts has an interesting passage of scripture that confirms this truth, that God indeed determines times and places set for us. It says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, from one man, it says, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, God, determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. That implication that's supported by this and many other passages of scripture is that God is the one that brings us to be in the time and the place that we are, because he has specific plans and purposes for you, for all of us. We are born for such a time as this. We're saved with this purpose. We indeed are alive when we are and where we are because God rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves, for this purpose, for this time, that God sent Jesus to die for us, to make us right with him and to fill us with his Spirit, which then is the power to accomplish the purposes God have for us. Last week, we talked about how important it is to hear from God at this time. Today, I want to talk to you about how important it is for you to stir up, to fan into flame the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to use them at this time to accomplish God's purposes. So let's very quickly lay a solid biblical foundation to this. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Romans chapter 12. And I want you to read with me, read these words that Paul writes. He had just talked about how that we indeed have been given such a mercy of God. And in view of it, we need to present our lives, ourselves, our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing, acceptable to him. And he says that that's how we begin to learn as we are transformed by his Spirit, as our minds become renewed, that we can test and prove what God's will is, his good, acceptable, and perfect will for us, for our lives. And he then begins to segue. He begins to tell us the application of this. He says, you know, in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace, the charis that God has given us. He says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And I want you to go back to verse 7 for just a second with me. If it is serving, let him serve. That original Greek word, serve, in verse 7, is the same exact word in the Greek that's used in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. I just want to share that with you as you can see how then this fits together and speaks to us about our gifts and why we need to use them, stir them up, fan them into flame, be willing to be used by God at this time as he empowers us, as he equips us, as he quickens us and gives us of his Spirit these special gifts. Ephesians 4 says this, it is he, God, again, who has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now listen to this in verse 12. These fivefold gifts, he says, are given to prepare or equip God's people for works of service, works of ministry. Same word. Remember verse 7 of Romans 12. If it is serving, let him serve. Same word here, verse 12 of Ephesians 4, to prepare or equip God's people for those works of service, for those works of ministry, which is really what the word means, ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, here's the specific application. What is being said here is that all Christians, all saints, are to be ministers. Listen, we've gotten away from this truth. We've created church organizations that, you know, that are set up with an ordained pastor that we call the minister, the one who typically, you know, gets paid to deliver the message of God. But that is different than what it was in the original church. There were elders, and the pastor was one of those elders, those gifted by God, the fivefold, to be able to equip the saints. That was their job, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ would be built up. The saints were the ministers. We need to return to this truth. We need to return to the understanding that in the times we live in, all saints are being equipped by God to be ministers of their own right, with gifts of God, to be able to make a difference, the right difference, because they're inspired, led, guided by the Spirit of God at this time. They're ministering out of these giftings, these spiritual gifts that are given by God. You see, spiritual gifts are different than natural talents. It's not that spiritual gifts negate any natural talents. They complement them, but these are gifts that are specifically given by God supernaturally to accomplish His purposes in His time, in His places. These gifts are given as needed by God to accomplish His unique purposes for specific times, places, such as this time in your place. So as we go back to Romans chapter 12 now, you know, it says that we have these different gifts given by God according to grace, the grace given to us. And those gifts include prophesying, speaking the words of God as we're inspired to speak life into people right now, serving, teaching, encouraging. What a needed gift right now. The gift of encouragement, as so many people just can't see beyond the present. They don't see a hope, that light at the end of the tunnel. How God needs and is gifting those with the gift of encouragement to speak into lives right now. How about contributing to the needs of others, this next gift? What a powerful need right now, that God indeed equips those to be able to contribute to the needs of others. How about leadership, godly leadership? And finally, this showing of mercy, God's grace. You know, these gifts, these spiritual gifts can all be used, should all be used. They're intended to be used where you are. Now listen, for those God has given you. Hear this word, that not only are you receiving this word today, that you are a minister, you're called to be, you are a minister, every saint, every Christian called to be a minister, but God has specifically given you people, those whom God has given you to minister to out of the giftings that He provides for you. You know, as I was chewing on this, this scripture kept coming to my mind from the book of Malachi. And at first I wasn't making the connection. You know, the scripture that says that God is speaking and He says, bring the whole tithe into my storehouse that there may be food in my house. And as I chewed and chewed upon that, I realized as I was listening to a friend of mine from the Southeast Asia Prayer Center, John Paul Sprecher. He was on live the other day and he was talking about how we are the house of God, that we are the house of God. And what a truth that is from the scriptures, that indeed, that we are now the habitation of God, that we are the house of God. We know that the scripture says we're the temple, right, of the Holy Ghost. But listen to this, we're the house of God. So bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. I really believe that that the word, the prophetic word that God is speaking to you, is that he wants indeed you to be able to receive from him and then give, right? Give of what he gives you to the others that he has given you in your house. Your ministry, my friends, begins in your house. What a good word for the time that we're living in, right? The ministry that God has given us, it begins in our house. Indeed. Now, in Romans 12 again, here's what it says in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. You know, we understand that every spiritual gift needs to be used out of an attitude of love, out of a motive of love. We also need the motivation of using these gifts, stirring something up within us. And that's why Paul says, you know, he's using strong words here when he says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. I'm going to tell you something just extremely important that I read this week. It was about William Bennett, no relative of mine, but you remember he used to be the Secretary of Education under President Reagan, and he also was the editor of the Book of Virtues and a book called The Moral Compass. And I want to read you something that he writes. It's a word for us right now. Listen, he said, the problem is not simply with the court. The problem is with the citizenry itself. He writes this, William Bennett writes, it seems to me that this is the heart of the matter. A culture of acedia has taken deep root in the soil. Now that word acedia means lethargy, apathy, boredom. He says this culture has taken deep root in the soil of late 20th century America, which has led to acquiescence and passivity. He's saying that here at the end of the 20th century, a culture of apathy and boredom has taken deep root here in America. I really believe that's the word for today, that in America today, there is this deep cultural boredom and apathy. You know, before this COVID virus, before we were having a great time, you know, just going out from one entertainment program to another, one sports program to another, you know, one movie to another. And we find that in that it was just lulling us into an apathy about real life, about real life. Now, you know, we're in a different place and we're called to wake up, wake up. We need to see why relationships in our world are so fragile and thin. We need to see that as God opens our eyes, that we need to be linked to the great cause that is God's cause, that we indeed need to be stirred up at this time to not only seek God, but to be willing to be used by him. Yeah, abhor evil, cling to what is good. Feel intensely about it, he says. And then he backs it up with this next verse, verse 11, that says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I got to tell you that a great danger was looming over America. And that danger is that people were being lulled to sleep, passive, lethargic, just doing nothing to seek out God's purpose and plans for their lives and to, with zeal, seek to be used by him, to exercise the gifts that he so willingly wants to give us, to take hold of those gifts by faith and use them to see incredible things happen in our houses and in our spiritual houses too. You know, we need to be able to look to God and say, Lord, I know that you are willing to give me gifts, spiritual gifts, that you know, Lord, that I'm anxious, that I I won't be able to do what you want me to do. I need to be able to trust you that you indeed are able to work through me. I trust your enabling grace, and I trust you even now to be able to trust you more, to stir me up and allow me to boil for you, to have zeal for you. And I was reading how the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Colossians that how he was proclaiming Christ and admonishing every man and teaching him with all wisdom so that he could present them complete. And he said, for this purpose, I labor striving according to God's power, which so mightily works in me. That's the power that is available to us now through Christ, through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. You know, I really was struck again early this week whenever I was listening to what Governor Cuomo had spoke about the numbers of cases of the coronavirus coming down in New York State. And of course I was troubled. I'm sure you were to hear him say that it wasn't God that did it. It wasn't faith that did it. It was them that did it through hard work. And while I appreciate the hard work that was being done, to not understand that every good and perfect gift comes from God, to not understand that in the plan of God, God has always desired to use people to bring about good. That's his plan today, is to use people to bring about the good that he desires. That's his purpose. And that's why he gives gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's why, so that we can be brought into the plan and purposes of God, of what he wants to do on the earth, that we are part of his working. A way to say that is that we are co-laboring with God in accomplishing the things that he desires for us to accomplish in these times. Now listen, that's going to call us to be willing to do things that we have not done before. But I can tell you, you'll be doing them with gifts that God gives you new. Maybe gifts that you have never had before. Gifts of the Holy Spirit that God is so willing to give. To all those who are willing to exercise faith and be used by God in the strength that God provides so that he gets the glory, and those that are close to us receive the benefit. You know, as we close here this morning, I want to just start with understanding that as you receive this word today, you need to be able to understand that this word, God, through the Holy Spirit, can quicken to you, can actually now allow you to think about, chew on, and apply in your life by the inspiration of God. And that he, God, desires to indeed use you, to make you understand you are essential. You are significant to God. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are being given things that are uniquely given to you to build up the body of Christ, to help those that God has given you. It starts with us seeking him. It starts with us asking, Lord, make us willing to be willing. Lord, help us to see that you've called us to be who you desire for such a time as this. Let's pray.